The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome back to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. Today we are breaking down National Signing Day preview with TJ Inman. We have guests Matt Weaver from Pigs.com. We also have Lyndon Ostrander from the Tampa Tribune going to join us, talk about some of these recruits from down south. TJ, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Sammy. Signing day approaching, so busy time for anybody that's attempting to cover this, I don't know, chaotic period, I guess is the best way to put it. But it seems like every year that this goes on, the word verbal commitment means even less than the time it did the year before. So it's hard to follow this stuff, I'll be honest.
The latest news on IU, Chris Henderson, defensive end from Georgia, who committed back in August, has decommitted this morning. There are rumors flying around that Alan Stallings, a Central Michigan commit who was on an official this weekend to Indiana, has committed to Indiana, but there has been no confirmation from the staff yet. Henderson's decommitment leaves IU with just four total defensive recruits and zero on the defensive line, which is an area where Indiana's got to beef up depth after losing a lot to graduation and losing Darius Latham to the NFL draft. So we'll have a lot to say on that. It seems that Stallings might be a reach. We'll ask Matt about him and we'll get going. Is there anything that you're looking forward to on Wednesday, TJ?
Well, yeah, I think the biggest thing is what you hit on there at the end. Essentially, Indiana is really left with some major questions on the defensive line. I'd say that just without, studying the roster incredibly in depth at this time, and without position changes and athletes that get assigned a position coming in, without knowing that, just right off the top of your head, defensive line is what stands out as the biggest question mark for this team heading into the season. Quarterback is going to be one that has a question mark. We don't really know exactly what Richard Legault has to offer, but I think most people feel pretty good about the potential that is there at that position, where it's defensive line. There's just not a lot of bodies that have played that position before. So, like you said, it's a position where Indiana's coaching staff is scrambling because of this recent decommitment, and they were already scrambling beforehand. So losing Henderson certainly doesn't help. It kind of reminds me of a game of musical chairs. When you get close to signing day here, it's kind of every athlete or every prospect is kind of looking for their spot, where they fit in. And I don't blame kids for changing their mind. I don't want to seem like I'm angry with Chris Henderson or think he's a flake or anything like that. It's really hard for kids to make up their mind when they're being pitched by a bunch of different schools that are telling them, exactly what it is that they want to hear. It's tough. And then you get to the signing day, you sign in the dotted line, and then it becomes official, more or less. So it's a big time for the kids, and it's a big time for the coaching staff to, number one, try and keep their class intact, and number two, try and round it out with, other players at positions of need. So I think what I'm looking forward to on Wednesday is seeing, number one, can Indiana keep all the guys that they currently have committed? Number two, who can they bring in to help the defensive line next year? because that's neat right now, is not guys that can help you just 2 or 3 years down the line. They need guys that can play right away and not be liabilities.
Yeah, that's, you know, something we'll have to look for in terms of who goes where. And you've always seen a signing day surprise. You've seen it with the last few classes. I forget who exactly, but, you know, Coach Wilson and that staff has always had a surprise or two on signing day. So we'll see what's going on with there. So signing day is Wednesday. Kids, go ahead, TJ.
Yeah, with the late addition of Tom Allen, I do think that has had an impact on this defensive class. It's understandable. You know, you if you're a kid that committed before a couple weeks ago, you know, you thought you were going to be playing under head coach Kevin Wilson, defensive coordinator Brian Knorr, and you've developed relationships with Brian Knorr, and then, oh, now that guy's not going to be there. Tom Allen comes in, and I don't think it's a knock on Tom Allen that these kids decommit. It's just the relationship that they have built with Brian Knorr is no longer applicable to IU. So I think that that has certainly, I think, had an impact on this class, positive impact on the class here in the last few days of this class being built. You know, you could see it, maybe a couple kids that had not thought of IU before, that now that Tom Allen is here, you know, the staff is working on them, and we'll be able to get a couple more defensive players, hopefully a couple more warm bodies on that D-line that want to come play under Tom Allen that hadn't thought about IU before. So I do think that's one storyline that might come into play as we head to Wednesday.
Right, and we'll bring in Matt Weaver right now from Pegs.com. Matt has been following recruiting diligently. Matt, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you guys?
Great. We're doing well. Surprised you're not out golfing. It's almost 60 degrees.
Yeah, not today. I got to work today, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, Matt, we saw Chris Henderson decommitted today. Is there, you know, any other new news we should be aware about?
The other guy you're worrying about is Ian Thomas, because it's looks like he's at Texas A&M this weekend after getting an offer from them, the JUCO tight end. Word is that Alan Stallings, the defensive end from Illinois, has committed. Now, there's been no tweet or boom or anything from Kevin Wilson, so that's kind of when I make it official. But it sounds like he has committed. And Sean Bonner, the tight end from Georgia, has hinted to me that he was offered and has committed, but there's been no boom for that either. So I would, if those are official, I'd expect there to be tweets from Kevin Wilson. He'll hear pretty soon.
So Matt, this class, it's looking to round up as a small class, which is something we expected. But how did this, in Kevin Wilson's, I believe this is his sixth recruited class now, how does this rank among the others that he's brought in?
Well, it's not going to be as good as the previous three. Obviously, the best one, at least, you know, on paper, was the one from a couple years ago when you had Antonio Allen and Richard Fant and David Kenny and Darius Latham. You know, and then the one the next year after that was pretty good. And the one this past year was also pretty good. It's probably going to fall in behind those three, at least as far as the ratings go, because of size and because, you know, they haven't hit on as many, you know, higher-ranked recruits. There's still some guys left to go. Keonta Enos, they're waiting to hear on Desmond Fitzpatrick. You know, Taysier Mack, the receiver from New York, could be a possibility. And those are all pretty highly rated guys. But it's not going to stack up as high as the ones from the last 3 years.
So is this something that IU fans should be discouraged about, or is this just a blip on the radar in terms of, you know, they were just so focused on getting to a bowl game and getting the contract done after the season that, you know, they really didn't get to catch up at all in recruiting until it was too late?
I think it's just a kind of a combination of factors, a little bit of a perfect storm. I heard you guys talking before. I think the defensive coordinator change probably impacted them a little bit. I think, you know, the uncertainty with Coach Wilson's future for basically the entire season and then, you know, a lot of the offseason until he got the extension probably had a little bit of an impact. I mean, I know other schools were using it against them. And then, you know, they just missed on some Midwest guys and in-state guys. I mean, other than Coy Cronk, there's no other commits. Now, you know, Keontae Ennis looks like they got a good shot there. But, you know, they just missed on some in-state guys and some Midwest guys, and they kind of had to scramble a little bit here at the end with some Southern kids and Texas guys. And, you know, that can kind of be hit or miss when you do that. But I don't think you should be discouraged. I mean, I'd like to see what the staff can do with a full year after the bowl, after going to a bowl game and adding a guy like Tom Allen. To me, that'll be more of the telltale sign of you know, where things are.
Right, and we've seen three guys commit now to the class of 2017. And we'll talk to Lyndon here in a little bit about one of those guys, Tyler Knight. But is that how good of a sign is it that they have three guys already committed for next year's class?
I think it's huge. I mean, since I've been doing this, that's never happened. I mean, this staff, you know, you've been following Indiana football, obviously, they take commits a little bit later, and they do that, on purpose because they want to make sure guys are fully committed. But it's a really good sign. Now, you know, a lot can happen between, I mean, those guys don't sign until a year from Wednesday or a year from, you know, the first Wednesday in February. So we'll see what happens. But, it's a good sign. It shows that, they're making inroads really early and they've developed relationships. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see them, you know, pick up a couple more 2017 guys in the spring and, you know, have a good class going into, as far as 2017 goes, going into the next season this fall.
Matt, what areas, a couple questions, Matt, what areas or one position do you think that this recruiting class has improved or addressed the most just on paper or in your opinion? And then kind of what do you think they can do about defensive line? I know that Tom Allen prefers to play a 4-2-5. They're not going to play it every down, but that's kind of his base defense. And I honestly don't really see enough capable defensive linemen to get that done. And this class obviously has not done a job of addressing that yet. So what do you think they've improved the most in this class? And what do you think they do about this defensive line with the rest of this recruiting class and then heading into spring ball?
Well, to start with this class and the positives, offensive line is really good. I mean, they got Coy Cronk, Grayson Stover at tackle, then you got McKenzie Nora and Ryan Smith at guard. Two of those guys could, quite honestly, as good as the O-line is, could at least be in the mix to be in the rotation next year. I think Grayson Stover's got the size, and so does McKenzie Nora. I think they've done a pretty good job at secondary, too. You got Brandon Drayton. You got Khalil Bryant. Jamie Thompson's on campus. A'shaun Riggins. So they've gotten some guys to, you know, especially when you're playing with a 4-2-5, like you said, that's five DBs basically. I mean, that fifth guy is kind of like a high, so it's like five DBs. So they've done a good job there. Then they've got a couple good receivers in Phil Binker and Jonah Morris. Jonah Morris looks like he could be really special. In time, I think he's got that size, athleticism combination to be a really good player. As far as the D-line, one thing, some of these guys who are going to be bandits, like a Brandon Wilson, maybe like a Greg Gooch, I think these guys will be DNs. Now, we'll see how they do. Brandon Wilson, everything I heard, was really good on scout team last year. I think he's going to be a guy that's going to push for playing time right away. Jamaris Bowen, the offensive lineman who transferred from – he was an O-lineman, D-lineman, transferred from Cincinnati – Coach Wilson said they moved into D-line, so there's another body. Next year, I'm not overly concerned about the D-line. I mean, they got to replace some guys. I mean, they lost some guys for sure. But the problem with missing so far right now on D-linemen is what do you do in 2 years? Most guys don't play right away on the D-line unless you get a physically gifted guy like a Darius Latham or a JUCO. So the problem isn't so much next year. It's going to be the year after and the year after that. That's why they really need to close out with a couple D-linemen developmental guys in this class that they can bring in, redshirt, get bigger and stronger, and hopefully they can play in a couple of years.
Well, Matt, thanks for the insight. I know you can't wait until Wednesday's over so you could get some rest, but we'll keep following you on Twitter. It's at @MB_Weaver. Matt, you do a great job, and we can't wait to see you on Wednesday either.
Okay, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks a bunch. Yeah, thank you, Matt.
All right, thanks. TJ, it's interesting. We'll bring in Lyndon Ostrander from the Tampa Tribune now to talk about some of these commits, specifically Brandon Drayton from Largo and Tyler Knight from down that area as well. Drayton's 2016, Knight is 2017. Lyndon, welcome back to the show. Hopefully it's nice and warm down in Florida. How are you doing?
Good, yeah, it's usually nice and warm down here year-round, so it's a luxury of living here. It's got a little cold the last few weeks, but not too bad.
Good. So, Lyndon, there's another guy we got from Largo, Brandon Drayton. Can you tell us a little bit about him? It seems like this Indiana staff has planted their flag in your area, and some of these guys look to be pretty good.
Yeah, your assistant coach, went to high school at Clearwater, which is in the same district as Largo. He does a good job recruiting down here. You see him all the time. And Largo gym and all that. Drayton's a three-star safety. Very long, athletic, can also play receiver. What I like about him is that he can really cover the field as far as from a safety's perspective. I mean, he can come downhill, but he's very long and he's got good recovery speed. He's pretty exceptional at covering for his size. And he's got a competitiveness about him. He lays the wood. He just has some really wowing plays on tape. And he's definitely got a ceiling. I mean, he's definitely got a unique frame for a safety for his size. That's, coaches drool over that. He had some big-time offers. So he's definitely the real deal.
Lyndon, Johnson Crawford was another safety last year from Largo. How does he compare to Drayton? Since we've seen Crawford on the field. He made some plays. He led the team in interceptions. He blocked a kick. How does he compare to Crawford?
Well, I think he compares very well. I didn't get to see Crawford as much as I got to saw Drayton this year. I've seen Drayton a bunch this year. But I think they're very comparable. I think Drayton's got a little better frame. I think Crawford's, a little bit more fiery competitor. That's what makes Crawford who he is. He's just a, tough as nails competitor. But I think Drayton's got a really good ceiling just with his frame and just how versatile he is. I mean, not only can he cover, but he can come downhill and he can be effective in the running game because of his length and, he's pretty fast. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if you see him at receiver too. He's a pretty good deep threat. So I think he compares very well, and I think he can see immediate playing time. I mean, I really do. This guy has definitely got a ceiling on him.
He kind of sounds like an ideal fit in the 4-2-5, kind of the hybrid position that the new defensive coordinator Tom Allen has. What have you heard from people in that area about, if anything, about Tom Allen, who was at South Florida for a little bit of time before deciding to come home, as he called it?
I haven't really heard much. I'm going to be honest with you. I really haven't heard much about that.
Okay, yeah. I just said Drayton sounds like a guy that should fit in very well in kind of a hybrid safety linebacker role that the 4-2-5 has, kind of a striking safety that can also cover in pass coverage. I'm excited to see how he's going to fit because, you were excited about Crawford and you absolutely nailed it with him. And I think it's a really positive thing that Indiana's getting those kind of athletes into the defense. It can only help. Tyler Knight, I know Indiana fans are pretty excited about to get a kid of his caliber to commit in 2017's class. Talk about what he could mean to Indiana. What you expect from him during his senior year of high school?
Well, he's only been playing the position for about a year. He was a tight end, and then he transferred and he's kind of transitioned to an offensive lineman, and he's been kind of growing into it. He packed on at least 25 to 30 pounds of muscle. He really got big and bigger and stronger. And he did a really good job this year. I think he's another guy that could be a project and just kind of, he's very athletic and nimble on that outside. He can really move for someone his size. I mean, so he'd be really effective in the running game if they chose to do that. I just think he's really growing into his body, and we haven't seen what he can become. He's not even filled out. He's only been playing it for a year. So you always love those kind of project guys who have been effective in their first year and they're only getting better. So I think he can become really solidify that position for you.
Lyndon, are Drayton and Knight both multi-sport athletes? Do they play other sports than football?
Yeah, well, Drayton plays basketball. Tyler Knight played basketball last year, but I don't think he plays this year. Drayton's a pretty effective basketball player. He's really good at rebounding. He's got really good length. He's definitely a difference maker for them. You know, talking about what he can do on the football field, I mean, he can really hold down that outside at that hybrid position with his length. You know, he can really, you know, cover that edge. He's got good recovery speed. He covers the sideline well. I really like what he can become. And I think colleges really, really see that as well. I mean, he had Florida looking at him. He had some SEC schools looking at him. He had a bunch of schools that really wanted his services. He definitely got a lot of potential. I'll say that. I mean, he's a darn good basketball player. Gets a lot of rebounds. You know, and I really like Drayton.
Yeah, you see more and more now that multi-sport athletes are becoming targets for big college coaches. You see Urban Meyer's offers multi-sport athletes all the time. So, you know, one of the bigger things now in college football is seeing these multi-sport athletes. So as a physical education guy, I love that they're promoting these things. And, you know, I'll get off my soapbox now, but it's good to see that these guys have the ability to play different sports. And I think that does prevent a lot of injuries and all that stuff. But, Lyndon, are there any other Florida guys in your area that Indiana fans should keep an eye on?
For 2017, yeah, sure, there's a bunch. You know, you just go to Clearwater. Jaquez Jones, electric slot receiver. He just got a Kentucky offer. Just got an MVP of a Louisiana combine, ran a 4.39 40. He's definitely someone to keep an eye on. Obviously, Lemons there. Zachary Hochschild, the offensive lineman there. He might grow to be like 6'8", maybe a little bit taller. I mean, he's a big boy.
Wow.
Kane Taylor. I mean, I can't say enough about him. He every college in the country really wants that guy. He's someone that you're really going to hear of. So just watch out for him. Going down the list. Zamari Maxwell, he's a 6'1" corner. He just got an offer the other day from Kentucky. And then the big one is Jordan Scott. He just got an FSU offer. Big defensive lineman. He's a 3-star. You're definitely going to hear him. I'm just trying to think off the top of my head here. Amari Burney, 2018. He's gonna be a 4, you know, maybe a 5-star when it's all said and done. He got a UF offer yesterday. 6'2", runs a 4.5 flat 40, very versatile, love his measurables. So those are the guys I like.
Awesome. Well, Lyndon, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. Hopefully Indiana still, you know, keeps planting seeds down there in Florida with Coach Fry. I know that he's had a huge impact down there and all good things. And we've loved the talent we've had up there, and we can't wait to see what Crawford does as a sophomore, as well as Donovan Hale, where he lands on the field and where Brandon Drayton goes, because he could have an all-Largo starting safety tandem there if Brandon Drayton does, break into the starting lineup, and we'll see.
Yeah, I really think Drayton's going to make an immediate impact, you know, given an opportunity. Guy's a playmaker, so we'll see.
Yep. Well, thanks, Lyndon. We'll have you on again, and always a pleasure talking with you.
Yeah, good luck with IU. Hope you guys get another boom. I love when he does that on the Twitter. That's awesome.
Yeah. We're always waiting for the next boom. Have a great day, Lyndon.
You too. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you, Lyndon. Have a good signing day. It's always busy, I know.
Yeah, that was Lyndon Ostrander from the Tampa Tribune, friend of the show, always a great contributor. TJ,
yep.
I'm looking over the 247 ranks for the IU football class. 247 has Alan Stallings listed as a commit right now. Now, we don't have anything official. I haven't checked Twitter in the last 20 minutes, so who knows. But, you know, right now it stands at 14 commits, including Stallings. They're ranked 11th in the Big Ten, 64th in the nation. They really made up some room with Jonah Morris and Mackenzie Nora the other day. But this class, you know, you'd like to see them in the single digits in the Big Ten, and you know, what are your final thoughts going forward?
Well, I think one thing to remember is with the size of this class, there is a ceiling somewhat on how high it can be ranked. If a school like, just pulling this out of my head here, Minnesota gets a class of 22, and Indiana ends up with a class of, 17 or 18, and you're talking of pretty comparable players between the two, Minnesota's class is going to end up a little bit higher on paper. So that's one thing just to keep in mind when looking at those rankings. They are a pretty good indicator of where things stand on paper heading into college. Not necessarily a 100% accurate prediction of or indicator of how that class is going to fare. But I think you're going to see Indiana pick up a few more defensive line or even defensive end commits that, like Matt said, that guys that you hope you don't have to use this year, but that you can use after Nate Hoff and Ralph Green end up leaving after this season. You're going to need a numbers game, and right now the numbers are not there for the future at defensive line. So I don't know if that's going to mean, reaching down, picking up a JUCO kid or two, plus a couple of maybe projects from high schools in the Midwest area, or maybe a project from Texas or Florida has been overlooked. But I think you'll see that a little bit. I think it's going to be a battle to keep Jonah Morris in the class up until Wednesday. I think that's kind of one of the guys that you're going to be looking anxiously to make sure his letter comes in, because, like you said, he is a big-time get for this staff. He's a guy that, even with all the talent that Indiana has coming back on in those skill positions on offense, I think that Jonah Morris is a guy that will push for some playing time. I don't know if he'll end up getting a lot of it, but he'll push for it for sure. I just think the biggest thing is going to be, how do they finish on the defensive line? What kind of impact can Tom Allen have rounding out this class? And then I think Keontae Nenis is a guy that I know Indiana really wants, so it's going to be interesting to see what his commitment ends up. I know he's still been taking some visits. I know he's a guy that could play offense or defense. He's been a running back at Winchester High School, and his tape looks really great, and his numbers are really mind-boggling when you look at how many touchdowns he's had in his career. So he's a guy, but one player that, and we'll talk about this post-signing day, but a player that I'm maybe irrationally excited about just because I think it's going to be fun to see how the offensive coaches use him, is Tyler Napier from Texas. I really, really think it's going to be cool to see the offensive coaches have fun utilizing his, bulk would be a good way to put it. The big, big kid that is surprisingly agile for his size and was very productive in Texas, which is a high level of high school football. So he's one guy, and we'll talk about all that stuff after signing day podcast. But I think overall it's a class that does fill some needs, especially in the secondary. I think Matt was dead on with that. And for the future of the offensive line, for me, there's no concerns about the O-line as long as this staff is here at IU, because they know how to get guys that have talent and that fit the offensive line scheme, and then they develop them. And I think it's going to continue to be a strength of the program for the next several years.
Yeah, and, that's exactly right. There are some concerns regarding this class. It is a smaller class. It's only got four defensive players, but it does address the secondary needs. They're going to have to sign a defensive lineman or two just to shore up those numbers. Now, there will probably be guys who redshirt and are used a couple years down the road. But, those are some of the more glaring needs. You do have to give them credit. They got Legault in, and they got Jamie Thompson in. to help. So they fixed the need at quarterback, hopefully. And we'll see Jamie Thompson in the secondary as well at safety. So they now have some nice depth at safety. You have Crawford and Dutra. And you have Jamie Thompson coming in, and you have some pieces to play with now. TJ, we can't wait for signing day on Wednesday. IU has a press conference at what is now scheduled at 2 o'clock. That could be switched to 1 o'clock. We'll keep you updated. But I will be there. Our intern, Alex Compton, will be there. And we'll have lots of coverage from there. IU also has a streaming show, I believe, at 11 o'clock in the morning. So be sure to check Twitter and tune into that. It should be, as always, a fun day. It's one of the highlight days of the off season, if you could call it the off season. But you know, we're excited, and we'll be back. We'll be back after that to see where this class actually lands.
Yeah, we'll have the presser online on Hoosier Huddle. We will also have recruit profiles for all the guys that end up signing their national letter of intent, and then we'll also have plenty of podcast coverage, plus kind of covering the class as a whole, what it addresses, what it doesn't, which players to look out for immediately, which ones are development guys, all that good stuff. We'll have that after Wednesday, so be sure to check Hoosier Huddle often on Wednesday and often after that to get to know all the new Hoosiers. And just keep in mind that it's a big day for these guys that have worked really hard and now are having that payoff with a full ride, which is a very meaningful accomplishment for these players. So it's a big deal for them and a big deal for the program to welcome all these new guys in. So it's a lot of fun on Wednesday, and we'll give you the best coverage we can.
Yep, and thanks, TJ, for joining me. It's always great talking IU football with you, and we'll be back after signing day.
Absolutely. Thank you, Sammy. Have a good week, everybody.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? or the friends you find along the way. Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.